everyone, welcome to the first episode of the Yeah, Let's Go podcast. So this episode is really going to be about meeting the Yeah Pod founders and just getting to know us a little bit more. If you do not know us already, my name is Colin. I go to Eastlake High School down in Chula Vista. I'm a senior in high school and my pronouns are he, him, his. And my favorite plant is a Monstera Deliciosa.
Amazing. And I'll go next. My name is Isabel Lumahan. I'm also a senior at Eastlake High School. And my pronouns are he, her, and hers. And my favorite animal is a cow.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jesslyn Fong, and I also go to Eastlake High School. I am in 12th grade, and my pronouns are she, her, and hers as well. And my favorite animal is a quokka.
Hi, guys. My name is Kiala. I go to Canyon Crest Academy, and I'm in 9th grade. My pronouns are she, her, hers. And I don't have, like, a favorite animal, but I really like sea turtles.
Hi everyone, my name is Natalia and I go to High Tech High Media Arts. I'm currently in 11th grade and my pronouns are she and she, hers. My favorite plant would be a Venus flytrap.
Ooh, Venus flytrap, that's a cool one. And a quokka. Jesslyn, do you want to talk a little bit more about a quokka in case people don't know what they are?
Yeah, they're these super cute animals from Australia, and they're just so adorable. They're found in, like, their own little island, and if you go there, like, they smile with the people. Like, they take selfies, and they're literally just, like, the happiest-looking animals ever. They look like cartoons, and they just make me happy. I follow this, like, account where they post a picture every day of a quokka, and it just makes my day.
You get a daily dose of a quokka. I love that. Okay, so just like a little bit about us, we're all climate reality trained leaders. And if you want to start off with talking about how we came together as a pod in the first place. So actually, in the beginning, we all didn't really know each other. A couple of us knew each other prior to meeting, but just all together, we've never worked together. Until Cherry, shout out to Cherry, kind of had a meeting with all of us and discussed really what we wanted to do within a pod. So if anyone wants to start talking a little bit more about how it kind of like happened and was created and like the first steps of it, if anyone wants to take over that.
Well, I guess I can go a little bit. Just to give some background, Cherry is the chapter like lead or chapter manager for the San Diego chapter, which is our area. So after we all received the training, I think Isabel, everyone else besides me received the training in July and I received it in August. So we all around joined at like pretty much the same time. And so Cherry was like, you guys are like the very first like high school students to ever like join Climate Reality Project San Diego chapter. So do you guys want to make your own pod? Do you guys want to be a part of everyone else's pods? And even though we didn't really know each other, it was actually super awkward at our first time because none of us talked because we were all like, I wouldn't say afraid, but we just didn't know like what to expect from each other. I feel like maybe it's just me, but we all kind of knew that we wanted to work together because we didn't like, we were the new people. And so I just figured it would kind of be better together. So eventually we came upon the conclusion that we should work together as a pod. And that's how the Yao pod was founded. And anyone can add to that.
Yeah, I think it was really funny, honestly, because I think deep down we all did want to work with one another. We're like, okay, of course, like going into this meeting, the general meetings and everything, there was a lot of elder people and people out of our age range. So I feel like it was a little bit comfortable for us, like, okay, well, there are other high schoolers within the like group. Maybe we should come up together. But we were definitely all pretty timid in the beginning. And I think it's kind of funny to see how like now our dynamic works versus how it like started. But also the creation of our name, I feel like that's a funny story. We're sitting here in the meeting with Cherry and she's like, okay, what do you guys want to call yourselves? And we're like, oh my god, we have no idea. Like, it was a mess. But somehow it all came together and we came up with Yeah, or Kiala really did come up with Yeah, Youth Environmental Action. And it kind of just stuck right away. I feel like, I don't want to speak for you guys, but like, as soon as she said it, I'm like, okay, that's the one. It works. But like, does anyone want to talk about how, what it's like working together in the Yapon?
I just wanted to add, yeah, like since our first meeting with Cherry, I remember we were all so, like everyone was saying, awkward and extremely quiet. But now, like looking at our recent meetings, we have come such a long way, and our meetings are so productive, and at the same time we're so comfortable with each other to share all the amazing ideas that we have. And just touching back on our dynamic, I think something really important to bring up is that we all are able to bring so much to this group. And I know, like our recent project, the Climate Strike Week, we each took on like parts that we were passionate about, and we all equally contributed it. And I think it really adds to the success of our pod.
Yeah, and I'll just mention that, like, I felt like during our first meeting without Cherry and like us joining in as a group, it was just really such an open space to just express like what we love and like different opinions about the climate and like what we want to do to approach it towards the youth. I feel like, especially since there wasn't that many high school students at least, and like it didn't feel like it was overwhelming, but at the same time it was just another like space where I felt like I was able to just create and like collaborate with everyone else.
Yeah, I really do like how we all kind of had our own individual like passion within climate change, and it was kind of funny just realizing like how we all, I don't want to say it's different, but we all have that different little unique niche within the climate advocacy, but we all still like come together in the end, and I feel like it really provides us with the different perspectives. And that's something that I really do like within our group too, is like we have all these multiple perspectives and lenses to look at things. And even though we do have these like different outside opinions and everything, it really goes well together because we're able to collaborate together and actually like get stuff done while creating like a safe environment. I don't know, I felt that right away too. I'm like, okay, well, we're also accepting. I felt like in the very beginning, kind of just like laying out rules and everything, I mean, just it was such an accepting aura and vibe. I hate using that word, but it really was. Natalia, do you want to add anything about, sorry to put you on the spot, but do you want to add anything on working together as the Yapod?
I just love working with everyone. We do everything so collaboratively and spread the work out evenly. And I think that is such the core of like our group, is that we can, again, in addition to what everyone was saying, all bring in like our own passion, our ideas, but also just being able to work with one another. And even to extension of this, we are now trying to gather and spread our message to more youth.
Exactly. I don't know. I love our group so much. But just in the bigger picture, being a climate activist, I want to ask you guys how, like, what do you guys do in order to cope with such like negative news coming out, especially with the Trump administration on like his environmental rollback policies and everything? How do you guys cope with all these news that it just seems like nothing's getting better? Does anyone want to start off?
I guess I can start a little bit. I think like with news in general, sometimes you just have to take a break from it. But at the same time, like as a climate activist, that's such a struggle because you have to be up to date, because literally like climate change is so rapid in the rate. And I feel like there's new like statistics and new like news coming at you every single day. And that's very similar for a lot of different forms of media, but being a climate activist, it's all very, I'd say you get some really good and positive news, but it's a lot of depressing news, and you're supposed to keep up with it as a climate activist, and you're supposed to know about the various things going on happening with our earth. And so what I try to do to get like kind of dealing with that like overwhelmingness and stress is I really try to like keep a very good mental note of all the good things, because I don't know about you guys, but maybe for me, I feel like sometimes we put more weight to certain negative news than positive news. So I just really try to like have the positive news have like 5 times more weight than all of the negative news. And that I think helps me a lot.
I would like to add on to that. I think there is all the time I feel personally stressed and overwhelmed, like the news of going like around climate change and feeling like you are trying to make a change, and it's really hard to do that when you just see so many more negative impacts that are coming in and how to kind of deal with that. And what I find best to do is just really using all of this like news that's going around as a motivation. Think of it as like a motivation. What can I do to further push the message that I'm trying to spread, or even just like reframing whatever the news is promoting and taking that into creating climate action? And again, that is really the basis of our pod, as we are youth activists trying to make a change through so many oppressing factors.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, like everyone was saying, like eco-anxiety is so real when you're constantly faced with this bad news. But something that really motivates me is just you all, you know, the group, and also just seeing the mobilization and the collective like unity of all youth environmentalists, you know, within all the separate groups that we're involved in addition to, yeah, it's just great knowing that you're working to combat the climate crisis along with so many people across the globe. And Fridays for Future is a great example of, you know, youth environmentalists coming to unite and work towards the bigger goal of working to solve these issues and find like, you know, new solutions, but at the same time valuing human connection. So it's for sure the social connection and aspects of support that helped me get through the overwhelming and stressing climate news.
I feel like at least from my experience, like just learning and getting into the climate reality training, like the first few days was just a bunch of like bad news and like everything, like the world's ending, like blah, blah, blah. So many things like that are happening. It's just like, how did I not know about any of these events and like that are just happening like without anyone, any like publicists or like any like activism. But getting into this whole like environment and just like the atmosphere of feeling so motivated in like by anyone and like everyone in the group, or by this group or just like other organizations, is just so uplifting. And I feel like it's just like a good thing to get yourself involved in. And I feel like for me, I also look through like social media, even though it's like not always a good thing, but there's always some good news within it. Like one of the Instagram accounts, Future Earth, they always have these like Turn Up Tuesdays or like Turn It Out to something like that, where it's like just like positive news and like good things that are happening within the world. So I feel like it's just always some motivation that's always there.
I feel like it doesn't help too that like what a lot of you guys said is that the media really only covers like certain aspects of climate change. Like when I did go through training too, I was like, oh my God, like Isabel said, like I didn't know that half these things were happening. And I kind of felt in a sense betrayed. And like, why am I not understanding and learning about these things earlier on, or like while it's happening, as like a citizen of the world, you know, like we're global citizens, like we're people like on this earth, and we just don't know what's happening. And I feel like especially in America, whenever environment comes up, like in terms of like the media, they only talk about like the Green New Deal or like the Paris Climate Accord. Like they talk about these very hyper specific ideas that like, yes, while they're very important and like should be talked about and like passed legislatively, like there's so much more to be talked about and addressed that I feel like now it's just, I don't want to say like a game for them, but it's just like the only thing, like keep it going. Like we need some fresh new news. And especially it's so hard to find the good news. Like you said, we have to search through social media. We need to find certain accounts or certain groups that have uplifting news. Like it's just so hard. But I think, again, it kind of goes into like burnout, like being surrounded by such great people like the Yeah Pod. It really does help just having our meetings and just talking and feeling that sense of urgency to get out and do like an advocate for climate change. I think really helps me at least deal with all this negative news and burnout. Just no matter how bad I'm feeling that day when we have a meeting, I always come out with a smile. I'm like, okay, like this is not for nothing. Like we're trying our best and we are out here doing, taking action that like so many people, like, and there's a lot of people doing it. I think also when I wasn't in the pod or it wasn't in our San Diego chapter, I was like, is there people out in San Diego actually fighting for climate change? Because it's, again, very hard to find people who fight for the same thing. But just seeing everyone's faces on Zoom, as much as it's, I'd want it to be in person, but seeing it in Zoom just really helps thinking that we're not alone. So with that being said, have you guys ever like talked to someone about climate advocacy or climate change, and have they ever like denied it and said that it's like fake or anything to you? Like, has that any happened to any of you guys?
I can start on this, more on like a personal experience. So I feel like so many climate activists, if not all of them, are going to face people who are going to doubt the messages and the science that we have behind the statements that we're making. And more on a personal experience, the thing that I probably deal with more like a daily basis is trying to convince my own family or my own parents, because it is really hard, since going back to how media portrays things and more just like my newer experience in taking climate action, throughout my family was not really expressing like thinking about climate change at all and how it's affecting us. But one of like the hardest things even to do, if it's just a stranger, but even harder to just feel like your family is not there to support you or understand what you're trying to say. So in that, it's always like a struggle, like from slowly they're trying to understand what I'm trying to say. But for anyone who's also just like facing that too, is just little by little, you can experience so many people who can doubt you on a personal and on a larger scale, but it's always just important to like remember and like just stand for what you're saying and just do the best that you can to really spread what you're trying to say and taking the action that needs to be taken.
I guess I can speak a little bit on this too, and then after I'll let Jesselyn speak. But I used to live in Florida, and I didn't really, back then I wasn't a climate activist, but I really love the environment. So I think based on like, if I lived in Florida now, I think I would really struggle to find like-minded people, because like living in Florida, you don't know who believes what. Like, people either wear their hearts on their sleeves or they don't say anything in fear of like having disagreements with people, because people can get very heated. And I think this is somewhat of the same like where we live, but it's to a much less scale. Like, I feel like I have some friends that don't even like know I'm a climate activist, just because I don't talk, because I don't know how they feel about a certain subject. And I obviously don't want to get in an argument with my friends, so I try to like say it through the work that I'm doing versus like trying to have a whole PSA to them. But I think it's very hard trying to like kind of gauge out like people's feelings on a particular subject, at least. That's my experience with like climate denial, or people who at least don't recognize that climate change is our biggest problem. Because I feel like at least here, what we deal with is a lot less of climate denial and a lot less of climate unawareness. Because again, as we said previously, the climate activists, there's a bubble. Like, obviously now that we've like entered inside the bubble, like we realize that there's a much larger community than we thought. But beforehand, you don't really know if you're on the outside and if you're on the general public. And that's why we work so hard to gain awareness, not just towards the movement and towards other climate activists and making them more knowledgeable and making them fight harder, but to the general public, because again, there is a bubble.
Yeah, and totally like agreeing with what Kiala said. Like, personally, I haven't dealt with climate deniers, but for sure, all our circles of influence consist of people who don't realize how important this issue is, and that it's, you know, the biggest issue of today, just because how intersectional it is. But I found that, you know, communicating the climate crisis with people within our circle of influence, you know, you have to be you have to communicate it with passion and just be genuine, you know, because it think messages really honestly resonate with other people when they hear it from, you know, your genuine point of view. And I'm just really glad that our pod specifically works to educate, you know, our generation and just the youth, because, you know, we are the ones growing up and facing these issues. And I think it is really important that the youth understand that we have the power to make these solutions and just build towards a future that is more green.
So we've talked about ways that we kind of implement talking about climate advocacy to other people, along with just certain ways that we educate the youth. However, through all the outreach that we do, how do you guys specifically implement what we preach into our daily lives?
So one of the ways I implement, you know, what we do as climate activists into my daily life is through my diet. I know Isabel and I are both pescatarian. And of course, a large part initially actually why I became pescatarian, you know, was for my personal health, just because of, you know, how bad meat can be for your future well-being. But, you know, now becoming more educated on the climate crisis, I'm extremely, like, very passionate about being pescatarian. Just because of how much, you know, the agricultural sector contributes to methane emissions and, of course, the inhumane treatment that, you know, we all know happens. But for sure, you know, just knowing how small, like, these changes to our diets really do make an impact. It really keeps me going. And I know even just having, like, vegan nights or just, like, nightly things or one, you know, monthly events where you have vegan meals or you substitute, you know, what you usually eat, and maybe you have, like, a day where it's no meat. Like, all of those differences truly make an impact. And I'm just very happy that I can incorporate what we do into, like, my daily diet, and it makes me really happy.
Piggybacking off of Jessalyn, I personally am not pescatarian. I'm actually thinking about transitioning into becoming a pescatarian.
Yes.
I know. Look at
me. Do it.
I already do, like, try to limit my meat intake when I have the power to, if that makes sense. Like, it's difficult for my, like, me to stop eating meat because, like, my family eats a lot of meat all the time. So it's hard for me. Like, I do not have the time to, like, have to worry about cooking my own separate meal for dinner and everything. But I do, like, when I do go out to eat or out at restaurants where they serve, like, a vegetarian or pescatarian option, I tend to pick that side over, like, the heavy meat, just like Jessalyn said, just because of how much the meat industry, like, puts out carbon emissions and everything. It's pretty crazy. It's pretty common knowledge now, I feel like, but if you haven't researched about that, like, that's something you could delve into and could really start your climate journey. But besides meat, I actually cut out, like, majority of dairy within my diet as well, because, again, the dairy industry takes a lot of emits a lot of greenhouse gases. And I used to drink almond milk, but then I also found out that almond milk actually uses the most water out of majority of all milks to make the actual final product, which, again, we do not have a lot of water left on Earth at all for a future. So I transitioned to oat milk, which I think tastes the best out of all milks, and it's the most eco-friendly. But besides all, like, my diet stuff, I also, like, try to implement trash management within my family overall. I wouldn't say my whole family is climate activist at all. We're kind of far from that. However, I'm slowly trying to implement climate conscious actions with my family, and they're actually starting to do it and do it without me, like, hovering over them, which is a good sign for me. It honestly makes me feel so much better, like, seeing my little sister go up to me and ask, oh, is this trash or recycle, or, like, how do I dispose of this properly? I think it's the cutest little thing, just seeing how she's now being able to grow up with that mindset of, like, worrying about the environment. But just, like, having different scraps where there's, like, the compostable items, like leftover foods and unusable products that you could use to make fertilizer or anything. You could use so much for that. Like, you could use banana peels and keep that in water. This is a really side tangent. I'm sorry, but I'm really passionate about this. If you get a banana peel and you keep it in water, like for a couple of days and let the banana peel out, you could use that water to fertilize your plants. And it's a really good fertilizer that A is cheap because you just have a banana, and B, it saves, and you could just throw that banana in compost. But that's just a little fun fact. But having that little, like separating your trash and seeing what could go into the recycles and contacting and seeing what your exact trash collector takes for recyclables, that's something you need to research. But there's a lot of different ways that I implement it within my life. And that was just some of them, if anyone wants to go.
I just want to add quickly, like going back to what you're saying with the milk issue, I think that's something really important too, because you can continuously like find these alternatives, but just knowing that, you know, you can, there's always something better, and, you know, you can keep growing in your implementation of, you know, being climate conscious in your life. I think that milk example is like such a huge, such a really good example just of how you can continue to grow and constantly be more conscious about, you know, how you consume things and how it affects the environment.
And just a quick little blurb. I think mostly what we are talking about goes under the realm. I'm going to go out again, another little side tangent, but I think there's like three main solutions to climate change, like really, really big. So like first, like natural solutions, like planting more trees, just doing what we can to restore our planet. And then second, sustainability, which is kind of what we were talking about, limiting our current waste, trying to change our current ways so that we do not keep harming our earth and not keep emitting all these greenhouse gases and harmful pollutants into our atmosphere. And then obviously the third is like bioengineered and man-made solutions. But I personally think that sustainability as a solution can go such a long way if everyone does it and everyone tries to implement just a little bit. Like, you don't have to be totally vegan. You can do what you can, because obviously, like with our families, like my family is vegetarian, but not everyone's families can go all vegetarian. Obviously, so like sometimes people's families relate like health issue or health concerns, like whether you'll grow enough and stuff like that. And I just say, like, there are certain meals that you make on your own. Try those meals being vegetarian. And, you know, when you're older, you'll be on the pathway to a more sustainable life.
Going on to like the mentality of like consumer consciousness and like just the whole like finding ways to be sustainable and all that, I have my own like small business, or like I have two of them. I make jewelry and I also crochet, but I like found different ways and alternatives, because I feel like when it comes to like having a like a business or something, it's always like you have to make things look new, make them look shiny, pretty, and like all those things. And it's like always having to waste like different papers or even like plastic packagings. But like finding alternatives, like something that I do is I take like my scrap pieces of paper and I like do little hole punches to make the confetti instead of like buying plastic ones, or like even using that as like tissue as like paper filler, and like having compostable like eco mail, or like what are they called, polymailers, something like that. Like, but like just this like lifestyle and like impact has really changed my life and my mindset of like what to do and how to go on with my life and this business, of course.
Yeah, I think it really is just like we keep saying, just do little steps, and those little steps will grow into more bigger, like if you want to go with that step metaphor, like we'll go to bigger strides and we'll continue. Because like just starting off with hole punching little pieces of paper for confetti instead of using buying it, like A, it's more cost effective, and B, like you start worrying about the environment, and from that it continues to grow. Like my transition to milk, it began my transition to not eating meat, and like everything just kind of is intersectional with environmentalism, which makes it so much easier for you to start living a sustainable life. Because there's so many things that connect to the environment that you could alter and change. And it's just honestly really beautiful. As cheesy as it sounds, it's like honestly insane how much I think about the environment in my daily life. Like I could be just walking down the street or like doing an action that I think has nothing to do with it, but like I automatically think about how exactly what I'm doing impacts the environment. But
Yeah, for sure. Like, we literally cannot stress it enough, like how important every small action is and how it truly does make a difference. And I think something that really motivates me is just how fun like finding these sustainable alternatives are. Because I don't know, like I feel like me and my friends, we do a lot of my friends and I, we do a lot of like fun vegan movie nights. And I honestly have so much fun. It's fun like going to the store and finding these alternatives and it's kind of like you're taste testing something. And you can even have movie nights and watch like cool nature documentaries. Like Netflix has a great list of them. But yeah, I just love how fun everything is, and it just makes everything so much more motivating.
Since we're talking about the origins of, and kind of where we started off, we all wanted to share kind of what we collectively thought was Yas so far, because I'm sure that there are going to be many more amazing memories with you guys, but our kind of as a whole, our favorite memory working together as a group. And just like, I think it's because we kind of saw all of our hard work came together in a way, because we've been putting a lot of work into this, but it was our webinar to sum up our digital climate strike week. So, Isabel, would you like to tell us a little bit more about like what the webinar was, what the digital climate strike week was? And by the way, you can hear the webinar that we're talking about in our last podcast. And I'm actually going to hand it over to Jessalyn to talk about kind of what the strike week was and what the webinar was.
Okay, so one of our first projects as a pod was the Climate Strike Week. And during this week, we had each of the days center around a subtopic under climate change. So, for example, Sunday was Surfs Up Sunday, where we talked about ocean acidification, thermal expansion, coral bleaching. And another example was Safari Saturday, where we talked about biodiversity and animal conservation within the climate crisis. So after providing infographics of our amazing strike week pertaining to each day, we concluded the week with a webinar. And we all extremely had such a fun time participating in this webinar and listening to the speakers, because our speakers consisted of panelists who, six speakers actually, who each covered one of the certain topics that we addressed during the strike week. So, for example, one of our guest speakers was Queer Brown Vegan, who is an environmental educator who also has an extremely fun and inclusive community on Instagram. And he spoke about environmental justice. And then Isabel can speak about another guest speaker who's really cool, who covered Safari Saturday. Isabel, you want to go ahead and speak about that?
Yes, it was my uncle. His name is Jorge, and he is a San Diego Zoo tour guide, and he's been there for at least, I think, 35 years. And I thought it was really fun to invite him over, and he talked about different things that are happening within the San Diego Zoo, and like animal rehabilitation and the different species that are being helped and the projects that are going on within the zoo. But yeah.
We had a great mixture of adult activists and also youth activists. Some of the speakers that we had on our panelist was a 14-year-old youth activist named Simon Aaron, who has started a Green Schools campaign, which has the mission to transition schools to 100% renewable energy. And then, in addition, we were also able to hear an inspiring story of a young climate activist named Madigan, who shared her story, her personal story on how climate change really affected her personal life and how it motivated her to take action.
And I think by having the combination of the adult and youth activist, it really encompasses the YAPOG's mission of bringing together the adult activist along with a youth activist in order to combine and fight against the united problem of climate change. And I think that's why personally I thought the webinar was such an amazing memory, is because it directly reflected A, our hard work we put into it, but B, most importantly, it really did reflect who we are and what our mission statement is. And I feel like it just came out so perfect, and I'm really proud of it. So again, don't want to plug too much, but if you want to listen to it all, please listen to the podcast before this, and it's the entire recording of it, so you could hear more about their personal stories. And let me tell you, sometimes some of them were very emotional and got me, like, it was crazy. I don't know if any of you guys felt that same way, but
Oh my gosh, I'm gonna add really, really quickly. We heard basically like essentially what they were working on and some of their stories in like not a public speaking format, more of like a conversational and from, we never actually, during the webinar, I don't know if we're supposed to say this or not, but we hadn't heard like everybody do their formal presentation. And hearing it all, like, because we wanted to have a more natural conversation, because it was kind of like a Q&A or an interview type webinar. But hearing everyone's answers and hearing what they were working on and just like hearing them, I was like, how did we get such good speakers? Like, this was our first event ever. And somehow, like, it just shows you how amazing the climate activism community is, because like somehow we just like, I don't even know, they're like people that attended our webinar, like, were like, how did you get these speakers? And we're like, we don't know, we just ask, which is just like a true testimony to see how much people are willing to like talk about their work and try to inspire others, which I think is really inspiring to me.
Exactly. Like you said, I think it really was just unbelievable. Like, I'm at a loss for words still to this day on how we got those people. Like you said, like, it was really insane. But you know, when we come together to fight for a cause, it really shows that we are together to fight the climate crisis. Well, that concludes our first podcast. So thank you guys for listening. And just to have a little fun fact, when we're leaving, we're all going to just talk about our favorite, or mention our favorite outdoor spot to go to. So I personally love being surrounded by like really tall trees and just trees in general, and kind of feeling engulfed within nature. So anywhere that's like very forest heavy is my happy place. Anyone, Isabel, do you want to go next?
Yeah, sure. For me, my favorite like outdoor place would probably be anywhere like near like a body of water, like if it's an ocean or like a river, or, like a lake or anything. Something with like the water really just like captivates me.
I'll go next. So one of my favorite places is really just being somewhere where, like, there's a lot of green around, plants, and a nice like calmness to it. So I'm really just like outside of normal civilization.
I would say one of my favorite places to be outdoors is the mountains. I love the snow, so I love how, you know, during the summer for us here in San Diego, you can go up to the mountains and you can hike. I love hiking. And then, you know, during winter, it often snows, and I just love snowboarding and skiing. It's always been a family tradition. And yeah, maybe it's the Capricorn mountain goat in me, but I just love the mountains and the aura that it brings.
My favorite place in the outdoors is just the beach. And I know it's like everyone likes the beach, but I just like really like the feeling of like going in the water on a hot day and like having the waves crash against you. I feel like it's such a powerful demonstration of nature and just how amazing this earth is.
So that officially ends our first podcast. So thank you guys so much for listening. And Yeah Pod cannot wait to continue this journey with you.